Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. Oh, God is good all the time. Praise God. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get another drink. Thank you, Lord. Fill us and kill us and refresh us that we may be resurrected in your truth, spirit, and in power in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn to the third book of John, please? The third book of John. The third book of John. A couple days ago, I was in prayer, and I had a special treat from the Lord. And in this special treat, something occurred, and I want to share some things about it. Things that we assume so many things about God, you know. And one of the things that began to occur when he began to speak with me, his first words kept coming to me. He says, "I'm everything. I'm everything." And as I began to hear the words, "I'm everything," I saw everything as though all things that God had created had become a film. If you ever put your hands in a balloon, you know, you can poke it through. And I saw all creation, all universe, everything. And he kept saying to me, "I am everything. I am everything." And I'm thinking, "Wow, well, I'm everything." And I began to see his image begin to press through all creation. And he kept saying, "I'm everything." And one of the things he began to share with me, he said, in this creation of beginning and end, which, remember, he's eternal. He always has been. But there is a time sequence that he had set. In other words, out of eternity, he took a space out of eternity. And he said, "I am the Alpha and Omega." So even the universe has a beginning and the end. In that, the first thing God really created was time. In the beginning, that word beginning in Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God first created time because he holds time. But with him, there is no time, because if you're forever and ever, there's no time. But in this realm, he has created a time sequence. So where there's a beginning, there is a end. And when he was sharing with me that I am everything, and the arena that I saw Jesus coming, what kept coming to me is our comprehension cannot handle the reality of God. We just can't get it. We can't handle it. Our peanut brain cannot comprehend the fullness of God. And he knows that. So in that, what he did is in his creation of everything, we look at God as being God and there's somebody on the throne and so forth. There's much more than that. Much more. There's more than just somebody on the throne and somebody sitting at the right hand of God. That's what he's given me and you for comprehension in this realm. But there's more to God than there is what we know. And when he kept saying to me, "I am everything," in other words, there isn't anything that he's not or that he can't do. The Bible says all things are possible to those who believe. He is everything. He holds everything in his hand and in his time, because he's not bound by space or time. And as these things began to be unraveled, one of the things he began to tell me about was entities. That we don't even realize the entities that we call common things are actually entities of his. I began to look at, and he began to show me more and more. And he began to separate will. He began to separate emotions. He began to separate thoughts. And he shared, and each and every one is an entity of itself. And where there's an entity, there is a life. And in John, in 3 John chapter 1, oh, of course, verse 1. Is everybody there? I think somebody ran over my mic. Gosh, that's worse than it was. Hallelujah. We must have had a truck run through here. In John 1 and verse 2, I'm sorry, let's read this together. John 3 John verse 1, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Let's get this together. Let's speak it. Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in what? Couple things. All things. All things. Prosper in all things. All things. All things. All things. And be in what? Health. Just as your soul prospers. So can you prosper in all things without your soul prospering? No. It's amazing how many people think that. Yeah, man, I want this, I want this. And God's waiting for your soul to prosper. The purpose of prospering your soul is to become more like-minded with him. Again, your spirit, man, is what communes with the spirit realm. Your soul interprets what God is saying, and your body does the work. So if your soul is not prospering, your mind, your will, your emotions, imaginations, it's not in divine order, and it makes it difficult to interpret what God is saying. That's why so many people assume, and there's that sin of presumption. People assume. And one thing we don't want to do is be an assumer, amen? That we want to be definite. And so in that, when God speaks to us, we know that we know that we know that we heard God, not that we assume it. You know, the Bible says, test all things, test the spirits. Those are testing those things that you may hear to know whether it is of the Lord or not, because there's always some kind of a confirmation on something that he speaks. So he says it's vitally important that your soul prosper if you want to prosper in all things, if you want to be of good health. In other words, if you want dominion over the world and the things that are attacking you, your soul must be converted. It must be prospering. And he says, verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. So in other words, truth, the truth of all things, the truth of what's going on, the truth, the exchange of deception for truth, the exchange. Remember, there's no change without exchange. So in this, one of the things we want to do is get rid of assumption. We want to get rid of fables. We want to get rid of things that are lies. We want truth in every area, because without truth, there's no prospering. Look at how many people you know have been brought back into bondage again in some way or another. Why? Because of deception. Well, when they've agreed with the deception, it means it's a flawed belief system. And where there's a flawed belief system, there's flawed perception. And that flawed perception always goes between that person and the Lord. So the things they may be hearing, they may are not interpreting correctly. So again, we prosper by our soul prospering. Amen? So this word prosper also means advance. Advance. The soul must advance, become more like Christ to prosper. Also, the area of prosper means advance or go deeper. Everyone say deeper. Deeper in all things of God. So our mind, our thoughts must go deeper. Our emotions, our imaginations, our wills. All of these are separate entities. You know, in Exodus 3, if you'll turn there, please. Exodus 3:13. When Moses had the visitation from the Lord, in verse 13 it says, Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? What shall I say to them? And God answered and said to Moses, I am who I am. In other words, again, I am everything. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Again, in this, the I am everything. So he is in everything. Everything associated with him is an entity. And it's a representation of life. In 1 John chapter 4. So we need to really let God out of a box. We really need to let him out of the religious box. We need to let him out of all of these things that we have these assumptions or presumptions of who or what God is. Because you know what? He is more than that. He is who he is. Amen. And he is everything. And it's so he's so much bigger. We can't even comprehend it. It's like a speck of dust in a palm of a hand compared to who he is with us. We're that speck of dust in a palm of a hand. He's so much bigger. But see, what happens is because of our limitations in our life, you know, all of our limitations in life that we have been brought up with, our limitations of time that we've been brought up with, so many of these things need to be broke. They need to be broke off because we're not bound by space and time in the spirit realm. You know, there's this, there used to be a song singing, "Time's on my side, time's on my side." Anyways, for some of you that are young in age. Well, the enemy uses time against you. In the spirit, there is no space and time. In fact, in one moment, God can fix your past, present, and future just like that. To be omnipotent isn't always meaning everywhere. It means past, present, and future. See, we look at it as omnipotent as or omnipresent. I'm sorry, omnipresent as just all being everywhere at one time. But omnipresent is associated with past, present, and future. It has nothing to do with time. It's beyond it. And so that's who our daddy is. He's omnipresent and omnipotent. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, would you go there, please? Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Beloved, let us what? Love one another, for love is what? Love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is what? Love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, there's something about this that's very powerful. It says God is love, and love is God. Amen? But we also know that God is life. So I want you to look at this as love has a life. Love has what? Life. Because it's what? God. Love has life. Now think about this. The word tells it is a joyful heart is good medicine, isn't it? So when you and I are walking in love, we're walking in life. When we're not walking in love, we're walking in death. Again, love has life. Life of God is love. Existence of love is God. Does everybody get it? Existence of God is life. Love has a life existence and is life itself. Because love is God and God is life. Does everybody, I know it sounds repetitive, but there's got to be an understanding in this because they're actually one. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Now, I want to say something, so I want you to grab hold of this. Love is what ignited all creation. Love is what ignited all creation. And creation is existence. In Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to do the best I can to explain what was given to me during these moments with the Lord. You know, sometimes things are very difficult to, in the spirit realm, to bring it to understanding. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to release it so that there is understanding. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the creeping, all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over it, the fish the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God created man in his image. The substance of God is love. The substance of God is love. It was manifested, the manifestation of love is life. I'm going to say it again. The substance of God is love. And the manifestation of God is what? Life. That's why Jesus came, didn't he? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So God created man in love and in his image of free will. Everyone say free will. That is the ability to make choices in the life of his love. The ability to make choices in the life of his love. In Ephesians chapter 1. The name of the title today is Freeing Your Will. Freeing Your Will. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of what? His will. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed where? In himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the what? Counsel of his will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. The counsel of his will. So his will would be released. Again, his will would be released in us. Many times we don't even realize that our will is in a captivity. Will is an entity of itself. And so many times through the swaying of the enemy, through the deceptions of things, we might say, well, Lord, let your will be done. But we still don't let go of our will because it's still in captivity. And what happens is the enemy loves to put your will in captivity. And when he gets your will in captivity, even though you desire to do the will of the Lord, you can't. So there must be a process of freeing the will, because by freeing the will, it causes advancement in the soul or prosper. And the more your will is free, the more you do the will of God. When your will is in captivity, people don't even know their will is in captivity. But the Bible says you know things by its fruit. So the enemy always, and how does he put your will in captivity? Deception. It's always a deception. That's his greatest weapon. And once your will is in captivity with deception, then he guards it with fear. Are you getting this? In Luke chapter 12. So if your will is in captivity because of deception and it's guarded with fear, can you advance? No. Can you prosper? No. See, people look at the prospering financially. And the eyes of God prospering financially is not always according to his will. Does everybody? Because there's a lot of people out there who are heathens that are prospering, but it doesn't mean God was prospering them. Amen? I mean, they may be using some rules or laws that are prospering them. Consistency, you know. People go get an education, they get a job, it's whatever. There's a need, and they get paid for the need. But in God's plan and in his will, it's not about always financial prosperity. Not that he doesn't want us to prosper financially, but the first thing his desire is that our soul be so freed that it come out of captivity. Why? So that you make the choices that it's according to his will and not your own. Hallelujah. In Luke 12, is everybody there? In verse 47. He uses a scenario, a parable about a servant. And it says this in verse 47. He said, and that servant who knew his master's will, he knew his master's will, right? And did not prepare himself or do what? According to his will. Hello. So he knew the will of God, but he couldn't do it. Why? Because his will is what? In captivity. By what? Deception. And guarded by what? Fear. Whoa. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Hello. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. So men will come into this place who knew the will of God, but did not do it. They did their own will. Amen? Because their will was in captivity. God created me and you with a free will. As we begin to grow, one of the things the enemy wants to do is put your will in captivity. So he starts with it as a young age, the moment you're born into this realm. Things that not only you've inherited, but things that occurred even while you were in the womb of your mother. Things that were spoken. The conversations that you were around. You know, because people don't realize that that baby is in that womb. And things that are going on are affecting that child. And it's actually bringing that child into captivity or keeping that child free. That's why many individuals who grow up later on in life have many problems. Because they've been in captivity the whole time. And they even accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior later on. And want to do the will of God. And say they love God. And have a desire to love God. But still can't do that will of God. Because their will is still in captivity. Why? That will is that free will that has now been taken and put in prison. And guarded by fear. Will. Free will. And God wants to free our will. Does everybody understand that? Freeing your will, Ephesians chapter 1. So we must have truth. Truth penetrates all areas. Light exposes, doesn't it? So if you reject the truth and you reject the light of God, are you going to still be in captivity? Yes. So you may say you want it, but you're not willing to do what he's asking you to do. So it's going to also take something called cooperation. You look at, you go into a room and you have a choice of turning on the light or not. Oh, God sent me in this room. Well, did he tell you to turn on the light? Well, I don't really know. Is it dark in there? Yeah. Well, maybe you better turn on the light. Well, I'm waiting on God. Well, where's the light switch? Right there. Can you reach it? Yes, but I'm waiting on God. Smack! No, God's waiting on you. Why? Because he gave you the power to choose to turn that light on. Hello? And the more light it's exposed, the more truth is released, the more darkness exposed, the more deception is exposed, the more authority you have over fear. See, we need to break out of captivity. Addiction is nothing but a will that's been taken captive. Why? Because it can't make the right choices. It's a spirit, and it's also associated with fear. Ephesians chapter 1, is everybody here? In verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So he chose us, didn't he? Why? Because he has a free will. Verse 5, read it with me. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of what? His will. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us what? Accepted in the beloved. Was that his will? Now, are you accepting his acceptance or you're rejecting his acceptance? Why? Because you have a free will to choose. But when your will is in captivity, all the things of our past are trying to prevent us from accepting. Remember, one of the things the enemy always wants to do is put a new ID on you. It may have the state of Florida ID, but a different picture. It may have your name on it, but it's a different picture. Why? Because as a man thinks, so he is. So the enemy always wants to portray you as who he wants you to be. And if you agree with who he says you are, you're in captivity. Again, our will is put in captivity by deception, and it is guarded by what? Fear. It says, be holy without blame before him in what? Love. Is life love? Is love life? So is God life? Is God love? Is love God? Because we are created in the substance of God, which is love, then love has life. The freed will for each person is associated with W-I-L-L, walking in love's life. W-I-L-L, walking in love's life. Why? Because love has a life, and that life is God Almighty. Again, love is the substance of life, and the manifestation of a free will makes the right choices. Is everybody okay? There's something the Word says. It says, if you love me, you'll obey my what? Commands. So when we think about it, well, if I love him, I'll obey his commands. But when we can't obey his requests or his commands, it's because our will has been in captivity. So we're not making the right choices. And by not making the right choices, we're actually not walking in love then. We're walking in our own strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and not your own. In 1 John chapter 5. Freeing your will. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. I think. Is everybody there? Let's speak it, please. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Now, look at, according to his will means you're walking in love's life. That's his will, isn't it? That you are walking in love's life. So if you ask anything according to his will, so that must be associated with walking in his love, which is life. He hears us. So if we're not walking in love, does he hear us? No. Why? Because love is life, isn't it? And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. According to the walking in love's life, he hears us. 2 Corinthians 8. Second Corinthians 8, verse 10. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also must be a completion out of what you have done, what you have. For if there is a first a what? A willing mind. If there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. So this willing mind is associated with walking in love's life. There must be a willing mind. As again, as a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks, so there must be a willingness. That means we were going forward. We want to advance, but we want to advance more in God's love and more in his life. That means there must be an exchange, yours for his. Yours for that exchange is continuous. What does the Bible say? Daily deny yourself. Yours for his. Yours for his. No exchange, no change. No exchange, no change. Yours for his. So you want to exchange your lust for his love. You want to change your fears. Has everybody got it? 1 John chapter 4. in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to what? Love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. And his love has been what? Perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God. Why? Because if you abide in love, you abide in what? Life. And God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. No fear in love. No fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Does everybody get this? So one of the things that has to happen is we need to get filled with God's love. We must require it. We must request it. We must desire. Lord, fill me. I want to know more of your love. Fill me with your love. Why? Because perfect love casts out all fear. That's what guards captivity. So we need to remove the garter of captivity with perfect love. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. So where there is torment, there is fear. Love is not torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, I'm not talking about somebody jumping out behind the door and going, boo. Ah! My daughter passes out all the time. I do that. No. You know, there's a difference in frightening someone and playing and whatever. That's not the fear we're talking about. There is a fear of torment that is constant. It's always there. You know, fear of falling, fear of using, fear of failure, fear of success, fear. That's what's keeping a person's will in captivity. So they cannot make the right choices. There must be a desire to want to be filled with God's perfect love, to break off that guard of fear. Hello? We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So there must be forgiveness. Because people who don't forgive, their will is taken in captivity. And their soul is not in divine order, and they cannot interpret what God is trying to say. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect will is what we're looking for, isn't it? Walking in love's life. To know love, you must know hatred. Everyone here has experienced hatred. Amen? See, God is so perfect in all things. People sometimes think he made a mistake with the devil. No, he's perfect. See, to know good, you must know evil. To know unrighteousness, you must know righteousness. To know light, you must know dark. Why? Because one reflects the other. Forgiveness or bitterness. Acceptance or rejection. Life or death. One always reflects the other. Why? Because you have the power to choose. But if your will is not freed, you will make wrong choices. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, You know, people want so many things from God, and they pray. And God answers prayer, but so many times, he doesn't answer the way you expect him to. So if you're not consistent, vigilant, sensitive, you're going to miss what the answer is. Hello? Oh, Lord, help me. Okay. And he does. He sends help. Not that way. There's got to be another way we can do this. Hallelujah. And we try to tell God how we need to get free. Not only do we want to be free, but we're going to tell him how to free us. Amen. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is in the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. In other words, love was manifested in the flesh. Life was manifested in the flesh. Freedom was manifested in the flesh. What Jesus was a dimensional language that came into this realm. Why? So we could understand more. And then what did he do? He knew that we couldn't understand many of the things that he was saying, so he spoke in parables. Because he spoke in pictures. You know, you try and speak to a little kid, you're not going to tell him about all kinds of technology, but you might draw a picture. You're not going to tell that child how a TV operates, but you can draw a picture and they're going to know it's a TV. Amen? So God himself, love himself, the eternal presence of God Almighty, the anointing, who carried his love and his life, came into this realm, carrying a dimensional language that you and I could comprehend, then left it written for me and you. It says, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on into the world, and received up to glory. God was manifested. Love's life was manifested in Christ, the eternal power, presence, and truth. Again, love, love. L-O-V-E, life over vicious enemies. L-O-V-E, life over vicious enemies. Hallelujah. Now we know that love is life. Amen? And that life is God. In 1 Corinthians 13. So if you're living a life of love, right, you're going to be living a life over vicious enemies. Man, you're all quiet tonight. What's up? Are we pitch intense tonight? Intense tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Loosen up, man. First Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Would you read it with me? Love. What is love? Love is life, right? Love is life, and life is God. Love is the substance of God. Everything was created. You know, we're always looking for a substance. People look at Adam was made in the dust. Well, no, Adam was made before the dust. Why? He was made in God. And then God took and formed dust and breathed life. He breathed love into him. And he put him in a garden. Adam learned what deception was and what good and evil was and what rejection was and what judgment was. He learned a lot of things in the garden. In verse 4, what does it say? Love what? Suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It sounds like a person to me, don't you think? Love does not parade itself. It sounds like a life entity to me. Is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. You want to know whether you're walking in God's love? Here it is. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Never. So everybody see that? Love never fails. Love is God, the substance in which he created life and man. Because love is life, and a freed will one's will who's been freed is walking in love's life. In Romans chapter 12. Once you review your notes later, you'll really get it. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be what? Conformed to this world. What does the word say? Do not love the things of this world. What does he talk about? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Because that love is not love. It's called lust. And do not be conformed to the lusts of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we want to walk in love's life, which is the will of God. In 1 John chapter 5, so are your trials and tribulations working against you or for you? How do they work for you? Because your trials and tribulations expose your enemies. See, when people get so caught up in their trials and tribulations, it's because they're not vigilant, they're not sensitive, they're not seeing. They're looking so caught up in themselves because they're not walking in God's perfect love. See, but when you're walking in God's love, your trials and tribulations are an advantage to you, not a disadvantage. Why? Because they're exposing your enemy. But if you're caught up in yourself, you're prideful. If you're still in survival mode, you're prideful. It's not until you get into surrender mode where you become humble. If you're still fighting for your life, you're prideful. If you're willing to exchange your life, you stay humble. So in this area, we discern whether we're walking in God's love or not, because we're not missing what God is showing us. Everything that happens in your life is an advantage for you. When it becomes a disadvantage to you, it's because you're not seeing the advantage. The Bible says something very powerful. He always makes a way of escape. Always. And when you don't see it, it's because you're not walking in God's love. See, the first thing you're thinking is worse first. God's love is not worse first. You're thinking react instead of respond. You're thinking survival instead of surrender. That's why it's important to have dominion over your thoughts and just instead of letting them flow. You can't allow your thoughts to have dominion over you, because your thoughts are a part of your soul. Oh, hallelujah. We'll go on for years on this. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the what? Sway the wicked one. What's he trying to do? Keep your will in captivity, your soul in the captivity. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why? Because they exchange the love of God. Does everybody get it? You know, let me tell you something. God tests us in multiple ways. He wants to know who's first in your life. Yourself, your money, your job, your spouse, your children, your reputation. He wants to know what's first in your life. And you, every one of us gets tested on it. In Hebrews 10, 26. Remember, the key to victory is what? Consistency. Hebrew 10:26. Would you read it with me? For if we what? Sin what? Willfully. Now, is that person's will in captivity? Yes. If we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. In other words, you ain't covered no more. You're wide open. but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. You now become an adversary. Anyone who's rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Look at 29. How much more worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. He's talking about his own people. He said, man, if you're willing to break covenant with me, there is no covering. If you're willfully willing to sin, in other words, premeditated. Psalm 143. Oh, glory. In verse 7, David found a shortcut. In verse 7, he says, "Answer me speedily." "Oh Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit." Verse 8, you see that word? What's the first word there? Cause. You know what that word means? Ignite. He's saying, ignite my will. Ignite my will. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Ignite my will. When's the last time you asked God to cause something in your life? Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me, ignite my will, to know the way in which I should walk. For I lift up my what? Soul. See, he's talking about his will to you. Cause me to know your ways. Cause me, Lord, ignite my will. Ephesians 4. We'll close here, freeing your will. I think we have enough training tonight to start the process. Ephesians chapter 4. Is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life." Wait a minute. If you're being alienated from the life of God, what else you're being alienated from? The love of God. And what else? The will of God. "Because of ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of uncleanness with greediness." He says, but you've not learned Christ. You're not expressing Christ. "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful" what? "Lusts," not love. "And being renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the" what? "New man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the" what? I'm sorry? Do not give place to the who? The devil. Why? If you give place to the devil, is it possible that your will can go back into captivity? Yes. And what's it guarded by? Fear. "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not" what? "Grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Amen? So let nothing prevent your will from going into captivity. Freeing your will is a process. Amen? We were created with a free will. It's amazing how many times we've given up our free will. Just like Esau, who gave up his birthright for the flesh. It's time to break it. It's time to ask God to cause. It's time to walk in love's life. The substance of God, love. That's what you and I were created with. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be covered by the blood. Let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. And let the name of Jesus be magnified, free in your people. Lord, as I send your word to each and every one here, that by the stripes of Jesus they be made whole in spirit, soul, and in body. And that every yoke of bondage be broke off of them. Every label be broke off of them. And every soul that's been taken in captivity, I decree in the name of Jesus that it be released to the perfect love of Christ, coming against a spirit of fear. For God's not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind from this day forward, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.